I do greet and welcome each one of you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew for our morning's reading and meditation. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and a desire to read, beginning with verse 13 through 20. So 13 through 22 of Matthew chapter 7 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I'd like to end with verse 23. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear brothers and dear sisters in the Lord, and the much welcome hearers of God's holy and living word, we have before us the closing verses. We'd almost call it the climatic ending to the Sermon on the Mount that our Lord Jesus delivered. And in these verses that we have read, there's some very disturbing truths that are being revealed, things that we don't want to hear, things that our flesh doesn't like to hear, and things that our flesh will find ways to ignore. We'll find a way to get comfortable where we are, despite the hard truths that were pressed upon us by Jesus Christ himself. The brother in the prayer made mention of Jesus' words, where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is a verse that we probably, most of us here, if not all of us, remember. We've committed it to memory through the constant repetition of it. You know, some of us can remember things better than others. But you know, if we don't remember anything in the Word of God, it's because we don't apply ourselves to it. Because if you think, there could be secular music that I've listened to 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and when it comes on in the grocery store and I hear it, somehow the lyrics are known to me and I haven't heard it for 40 years. It's known because I listen to it so often. And so if we just say, "Well, I don't have a memory, I can't remember anything that the Bible says," it's perhaps because we're not putting any effort to read it. It's not important to us. It's not repeated to us enough in our readings and in our studies. And so we just dismiss it as, I don't have a good memory. And yes, some of us have better memories than others. The point I'm trying to make is, if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he talks of two ways, and he talks of one way that is broad, and the end, he says here, and this is what has to open our minds and our hearts and our to what he says, that one of them leads to destruction. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now, who wants to be on a road that leads to destruction? Nobody. There's two ways, strictly two ways. And so Jesus is saying, enter in at the straight gate. There is a straight gate, a narrow gate, and there is a wide gate, which is a broad way. And he says, many there be which go in to the road to destruction. So Jesus is using words of many, and then he says, narrow is the way which leads unto life. Every one of us wants to be on a road that leads us to life. But he uses the terminology, few are on that road. So if there are many on a broad way, few on a narrow way, what road are we on, you and I? Many a few. The road that is narrow, Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus is the door to the narrow way. Jesus is the road. Jesus is the way. He says, I am the way. And so, if Jesus is the way, and if we look in the New Testament, it was in Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. But before that, they called themselves the way, people of the way. Jesus is the way. So they were the followers of Jesus. And so the only way you and I can be on this way that leads to life is to be a follower of none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, our Master. But everyone says that they are followers of Jesus. And even if not, there's a comfort that they take. Back in the 19th century, they came to this conclusion that God is up on a mountain. And to get to the top of that mountain, there's many roads and ways to which to come to him. So all roads lead to God is what basically they said. And in the last several decades, that has been emphasized over and over and more and more. It continues that every path leads to Jesus. Every path leads to God. Not just Jesus. There's other ways, good ways. Everyone is good. Everyone is morally good and so on. And it's only the bad, bad, bad people that, you know, when we think about this broad way, we might think of murderers and rapists and the worst of the worst. That's not what Jesus says. Because later on, well, first he tells us beware. So he says he's sounding an alarm. Beware of what? False prophets. It was false prophets in the days of Jeremiah who constantly. Jeremiah would get a message from God, and he would deliver that message faithfully to the people. He would tell them, you are going to go into captivity. You are not following God. You are disobedient. God is not pleased. And then you'd have 100 false prophets to come out and say, no, 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 no. God is not that way. God would never cast us aside. God is too good. God is too merciful. God won't do that to us. What's easier to believe? When you have 100 false prophets who are prophets, who are the ones here that are prophesying in thy name, as Jesus is saying here. In the name of Jesus, they're casting out demons and devils. And in the name of Jesus, they're doing many wonderful things. And they say, that narrow way, you are on it. And you know, we get lulled to sleep. We become deceived. Who deceives us? The father of lies. And so if we live deceived lives, who is our father? You know, all of us here have a father. Is it God? Is he God? Or is he Satan, the devil, Lucifer, the one who lies and steals? Jesus says that the way to recognize the false prophet is by the fruit that they bring. And so you might look at the church of a false prophet. It's a church. It's defined as the narrow way by the false prophet. Because if the declaration is not coming by, as it came from Jeremiah, a declaration of what God has said, this is the only way, then it is a way of falsehood. Though he can proclaim it to be the way of God, like the false prophets in the times of Jeremiah. Noah was preaching, teaching, telling them, there is a flood coming. God is displeased. There is a way of safety. There is a place of safety. It's in the ark. Come. They were comfortable where they were. There was no sign of clouds. They've never heard of such a thing as rain. What is this babbler saying? Liberalism is the fruit of a false prophet. Legalism is the fruit of a false prophet. And what does exactly legalism mean? Because you and I, brothers and sisters, we can. You know, Jesus warns, and let's listen to this warning again, what he says. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Who's he talking to? The Jews, the religious Jews, the followers of God, the narrow way. Jesus tells them, you hypocrites. He says, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. And he goes on, he says, you hypocrites, you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. So, you and I, brothers and sisters, can say, yes, I am on a narrow way. Because look, I've made the outside pretty, it's clean. And how is that defined? Well, look at what I've done. I've given to the poor. I've given tithes. I've paid. I've sacrificed. I've worshipped. I've come to the church. I've done my duties, my Christian duties. But is there lust burning in your heart? In my heart? Is that what we... The inside, he says, it's ugly. It's death and decay. Oh, you beautify the outside. You look and you appear to mankind as if you're something good. But inside, it's death. So he's speaking again. These are warnings to believers. Jeremiah was getting exasperated. He didn't even want to preach anymore because nobody was listening to him. And he was constantly being made fun of. And you know what? The truth today, the truth of Jesus Christ, it is mocked today. Not the semi-truths. Those are embraced. And that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. Embracing that which looks good, but there is room for me to live according to my own desire also. There's some room in there for me. And that's the inside that Jesus says is ugly and dirty. I can't accept you. I never knew you. So we could deceive ourselves to say, I am on the straight and narrow way, and live on the broad way and never know it. Never know it. Why? Because the truths of God, you know, this past Sunday we had a beautiful day. It was a day of great joy. There were tears that were shed, tears of conviction. What happened to those tears in the week that followed? We were beautiful testimonies that convicted us also. And we thought back to the days of our own testimony that we gave, and the life and the promise that we made, a life of holiness and faithfulness to the Lord Jesus, to follow on this way. A week has gone by. What action was taken in our own life? Are we quite comfortable and thankful to the Lord? I was convicted. Thank you, Lord, because I even shed a tear. That shows that God is with me. No, that shows that God is speaking to me. Now, what did I do with that? It's not enough to look at the narrow way. It's not enough to look at Jesus. It's not enough to say, yes, I do believe. I am on that way. Because look, I made the outside of my life pretty and beautiful. What's going on in the secrecy of my heart, nobody knows. And I'll excuse it as just, that's just my personality. That's what God came to change. God didn't come to die so that we could live in our sins. He came to die so that we can have victory over our sins. And so that we can be born again and made new from the inside. And not just look at the narrow way, but be on the narrow way. There is only one road that leads to eternity with God, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. The truth that hit us. You know, Brother Josh, in his testimony, he said, I wanted to hide. I wanted to hide from the truths that God was revealing to me. He wasn't unique in this. All of us did and do. And we don't, and we're not honest with ourselves and to say, whoa, I want to hide from this, because this calls for an action. This calls for a humbleness. I can't live like this and still claim that I am on that narrow way to heaven. Hiding from God. Hiding from the truth. The only, because, why? Why do you want to hide? It demands, truth demands a change. Falsehood does not. The false prophet does not demand a change. And so we go on our merry way with the comforts of grace that do not apply to us at all. Because our faith has not been demonstrated in our life, in our thoughts, in everything we do. There's a demonstration of it. And so we're deceived. We're wallowing in the mud and thinking that it's okay if the outside is just, if I just keep it polished and good. Because I'm not, as the Pharisee that went to pray says, I'm not like this publican. And you know what? You're not. You're way better than the publican. You're way better than the murderer, the rapist, the extortioner, and so on. You're better. Does that give you comfort? You think that living a moral life is all you needed to be saved? So you know what you're saying then? Jesus, I don't need you. You didn't need to die for me. Because look, I'm living a moral life. I'm good. And so the broad way is a way of deceit that leads to destruction. The Christian on this road, didn't that sound horrible? Didn't that just sound horrible? A Christian on the broad way is on his way to hell. I didn't make that judgment. Jesus did. That's why I can repeat it and must repeat it for myself first and for all who hear. It's Jesus' words. Jeremiah said, this is God's word. It's God's word. Despite what everyone else will tell you, this is God's word. They didn't believe that they would be taken into captivity. There's no way that we are God's people. He chose us. We will not be taken into captivity. I have professed Jesus. I preach about Jesus. I talk to my coworkers about Jesus. I might be saying, there's no way that I could be on a broad way. And yet, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. As I call on the name of Jesus, if my heart has made peace, and I know I say this a lot because it's really what the broad way does. It makes peace with our sin. We get comfortable. And it's something also that Sister Jalen said in her testimony. The guilt that she felt initially, the sin produced, she got comfortable with it. That's a picture of all of us again. She's not unique. We get comfortable with the things that we don't want to give up. The warning comes. The guilt is there. It's immediate. And then, okay, I'm going to change. Okay, I do need to give this up. And again, we can't be talking in terms of, okay, let's see, I spent Friday night and Saturday night watching of movies that God is not pleased with. God is not pleased. I don't care what anyone tells you. God is not pleased with me or you sitting watching a movie that depicts sin. That is a depiction of people doing immoral things, murder taking place, whatever it might be. How can you take pleasure in the things that God came to die for, to cleanse us of those things? And we're going to take pleasure in watching those things. Okay? But we get lulled to sleep. It's just a movie. It's just this. Well, what it's doing is robbing you of any time that you might have had to read the Word, to put some verses to memory that will guide you in times of temptation. Because when you're being tempted, and you will be tempted, those things that you've seen, those things that you've heard, the things that you laughed at, the things that you immerse yourself into will guide you, inform you, and take you right into that broad gate. So easy to just flow right into. It doesn't take much. You just cruise right in. But the narrow gate, Jesus is at the door. He is the door. You can't come on with your own crown. You can't come into this road with your own crown of self-righteousness or self. You can't be worshiping yourself and thinking that you can fit into this door. Jesus says, no, you can't come in. I'm the way. A Psalm of David, 27, verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. You know, we have many desires, right? We have pursuits, we have. And that's very, very evident in our lives. We have many, many pursuits. We have many desires, and we pursue those things. David says, one thing, and this has to be our real desire, that I will seek after. So not only desire it, I don't just desire it, I'm going to seek after it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. The temple that the Jews told Jeremiah, there's no way. There's no way that God is going to allow this temple to be destroyed. There's no way. Because they made light of God in that temple. That temple was destroyed. The temple wasn't what it was supposed to be to them. What is church to you and me today? Is this the place where I can come and behold the beauty of the Lord? When God is spoken of, is that who am I desiring? Am I seeking after him? Am I anxious to come to the house of the Lord to hear about the beauty of the Lord and to find him there? It's the one thing I desire and that which I seek after. Dear ones, those things are revealed where our hearts' pursuits are. He says that, beware of the false prophets. He says, they come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So, they come as a lamb. The only way to recognize is by the truths. You know, when the false prophets told the people, God loves you. Yes, that's true. And he won't do that to you because he loves you. That sounds really good. It sounds like the word of God, right? It sounds good. It sounds very plausible. That's how Satan came to Eve. He didn't just, you know, Satan is not going to want to make you an atheist. We think that this broad way is full of atheists. No. Atheists aren't someone that you need to be afraid of. Because they're going to come at you and say, God is not real. God is not true. And you're going to say, no. I know God is real. It's the one that comes to you as a lamb. With enticing words, with beautiful words. God is so great and so good and he loves you and come as you are. Yes, come as you are, but you can't stay as you are. You can't stay that way. Because when we stay that way, we are on the broad road, and yet we are calling ourselves Christian. We invoke the name of God. We talk about God, but we don't know him at all. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. That means they're possessed by Satan. And they don't even know it themselves. Why? Because the conviction that they had of the truths, they got comfortable with it, like we all do. To some form, we get comfortable. Let's think about it. When a conviction comes to my heart, what have I done about that conviction? If I go on and through the week, I find myself again in that sin, whether it's a thought or a deed or whatever it might be, if I'm in that again, I no longer have the pain of that guilt. Oh, it might come at me again, and then you make peace with it. And you think you're on a narrow road. And at the end of that road, Jesus said, is destruction. Who wants to be on a road that leads to destruction? Destruction. You are destroyed. What you were hoping, you have no part of. What you were relying on God, I'm so glad that you're such a God of mercy. Which, praise God that he is. Of course. But that's not where I'm stopping. Thank you, Lord, for being so merciful that you'll even accept me just as I am without any change taking place in my heart. No. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. When you hear about me, you have to embrace me. Fear, the fear of the destruction of this road is the beginning of wisdom. Because that is God. God is that destruction. That he gives to those who desire it and pursue it. God does not judge us to this destruction. You and I, if we are on this road, we follow it ourselves. This is what we're saying. Lord, I see you there. Your truths are good. I'm hiding from them, but I'm really not because I still love you. But those are too hard. Those truths are a little bit too hard. The King James Version is a little bit too antiquated. I can find maybe a different version. And you know what? There are Bibles coming out of all kinds of different versions that embrace all kinds of sin. Which one is the one that we should stop at? Oh, it takes a little bit too much study to study the King James. Well, isn't that what we want to do? Don't we want to study? Don't we want to know what he says? Don't we want to immerse ourselves and spend time to know and understand the Word of God? To make ourselves familiar with it so that when the temptations come, what comes to my mind? Not the movie I just watched, but the Word I just read and the strength that I'm going to get from the Lord Jesus himself. Because he promised me he will never leave me. He's going to be with me in those moments. Our lives are so uncertain. As that hymn that we those of us who grew up in the Sunday schools, our lives are uncertain and ever will be. They're so uncertain, and yet we take a certainty in them. We think that there is a certainty in it. I just had a friend of mine that I worked with for years. I still keep in close contact with. His friend just died. Just got sick. December, she realized she was sick. And she's dead. Lung cancer. Quick. Had no clue what was in her for over a year. Never even had a chance to say goodbye properly. Gone. The uncertainty of life. The brevity of life. We all know about it. But we don't think we're a part of it. Why? Because this Broadway can, there's many people on it. Many good people on it. And if we're on that road, dear ones, if you find yourself on that road, revealed only by God and his truths, not by any preacher in any thought that he might have of his own, it's what God says. If you look at the Word of God and you say, whoa, am I really on that narrow way? The strict, yes. Narrow, yes. It's the way of Jesus. It's his way. And so, am I on that road? And if not, there is only one exit. And that exit is the cross. The only way to get off that broad road, dear ones, is the way of the cross. It's the only exit. It's the only exit off the road. The way of self-denial that Jesus showed you and me. The way where I will die to myself on that cross. It is the way of Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. I am the way. And so, dear ones, the most stunning words that any Christian could ever hear is, I never knew you. I never knew you. And you know, the Bible tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit within you. Do not grieve him. Because you know what? The greatest judgment that can come upon you and me today is when his Spirit goes silent. You think you have time on the broad road? You think you have time? When his Spirit goes silent and doesn't speak to you anymore, You've grown so accustomed to this broad road. You've been lulled to sleep. You've been deceived. And the Word of God doesn't move you. His Spirit is no longer with you. Don't grieve Him. Brothers and sisters, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Not just some spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I love how Brother Mark last Sunday in the sermon, he mentioned that we are being called into fellowship with God. And that fellowship is a fellowship of love. God is love. It's His love. A fellowship of joy and a fellowship of holiness. See, we want to be in a fellowship of joy and love, but that's because we take the meaning, the true meaning of love and joy, and we bring it down to our understanding of what love and joy is here, what makes me happy and what I love to do, and so on. But God's love and God's joy and God's holiness is unique and altogether different from anything that we can find on this earth and from our own self. And we're being called into that fellowship. And our bodies are housing the Holy Spirit of God who speaks to us as we speak with Him. And so our prayers are powerful because they are prayers of communion with God. We commune with Him through our prayers. We don't just recite a prayer, run it off, get done with it, and move on, and don't even think of what we said. Or if we do, our lives show that. So it's my prayer, dear ones, that as each of us take a look at our feet, where are we going? That we would easily recognize. And that can only be done again through the truth that we don't want to hide from. We want the truth. Lord, reveal thyself unto me. Pray that prayer, all of us. Lord, but He will reveal Himself to those who really want Him. And then when He reveals Himself, don't hide from Him. Because He's going to reveal Himself in all His blazing glory and holiness. One that is even going to appear as unapproachable to us. But the reason He is approachable is because He is love. He is love, and He will accept you. And He will change you. And make you into the image that He desires us to be. So that we can end our life on that narrow road that takes us to an eternity with our Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen.